Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, Happy New Year's to you. It's New Year's Day, and I hope that it's been a good one. I hope that you are rejoicing in the Lord. I have some wonderful folks in the studio with me today, and they all three work at Weirs Valley Ranch in various roles, and I want them to share a little bit of their stories today. Starting on my left, which I know matters a lot to those of you in the radio audience, starting on my left, we have Abby and Kelly, and on my right, we have Matt, and the three of them are in their first year at Weirs Valley Ranch. So I want to have them share a little bit of how they got here, and then we'll talk about what God's doing in their lives. Now, Kelly went to Grove City College in Pennsylvania. If you're not familiar with Grove City College, you can look it up. It's a great school. I am not connected, and I get no money for saying so. I'm just telling the truth. It's a great school, and we've had a number of folks over the years from Grove City who've come and worked with us at the ranch. And Kelly, how did you first hear about the ranch while you were a student at Grove City?
So I decided to go on a missions trip through Grove City College, and we came down to the ranch for 1 week in March, so just March of 2015, and we came down here to do service projects. So we did things like put in new stairs and put up a sheep pen and that sort of thing. So I decided to come with the group from my college on that trip, and that's how I first found out about the ranch.
And what did you think when you got here? Was it a little different than what you were used to?
It was totally different than what I thought. First of all, it was beautiful. When you drive onto the campus, the mountains just take your breath away. And just the atmosphere, I think, is the thing that I remembered the most. Just, you can sense the presence of God here in all the people who work here and just in the atmosphere itself. And it's totally, I just did not expect it to be as amazing as it is.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad you're here. Kelly is working with us in admissions, and we are very, very thankful for her involvement with us. Now, next to her is Abby. And Abby, how did you first hear about the ranch?
I heard about the ranch. One of my family members is a student here, and so I got to watch her really grow and mature and God redeem her story from being at the ranch. So that's how I first heard.
Praise the Lord. Well, we enjoy having that relative of yours who has indeed made some amazing progress and seen some real life change. We're thankful for that. Now, speaking of life change, you've been here how many months?
Since September.
So
just a few.
Just a few months. And yet, even here in this place, you have experienced some life change. What just happened recently in your life that our radio audience ought to know about?
I got engaged on Saturday.
That is wonderful. We're applauding and cheering. Hooray! I actually got to meet Abby's fiancé before he proposed. That was not a requirement. It just was something that worked out happily in the providence of God. But Abby's engaged to a wonderful young man who is serving the Lord in Metro Atlanta. And despite the fact that she is up here isolated in this mountain enclave, she's been able to continue her relationship with this wonderful young man who decided that he would like to be able to spend more time with her in person. And in order to do that, they need to get married. And in order to do that, they need to get engaged.
That's
so
right.
He proposed, she accepted, and we're all happy.
Thank you very much.
That's great. Now, Abby, where did you, what's your schooling background and so forth before you came to the ranch?
I went to Berry College in Rome, Georgia, and created my own major, actually, in Christian ministry. So I combined some education, psychology, and religion and this job was kind of right up my alley. I knew I wanted to work with children in a Christian environment. So.
Praise the Lord. Now, you mentioned that you have a relative who is here. You also have a relative who wrote an endorsement for my wife's first book many years ago. That would be your grandmother. Tell us, who is your grandmother? Many of our listeners will know her name.
My grandmother is Kay Arthur.
And Kay Arthur has blessed so many people all over the world for so many decades. And let me just tell you, Abby has the same Holy Spirit of God living in her. And we are so thankful that God brought Abby here to be with us. So now, your dad is now the CEO of Precept
Ministries. Yes.
Yeah. So again, you come from a legacy of ministry. Your lineage humanly is wonderful, and in the Lord is wonderful. And we're delighted that God has brought you here. Let me tell you, she is living up to our expectations that she would be great. She's doing a wonderful job. On my other side of the desk here is Matt. And Matt, you came to us also from up north. Tell us about where you heard about the ranch.
All right. Well, I actually went to the same college as Kelly did, and I went on the same mission trip that Kelly did this year, but I had the privilege of going on it all 4 years of college, and my junior and senior year, I led it down here. And throughout my time of coming down, I really enjoyed getting to know everyone here and decided after much prayer and asking for advice that this is where God was calling me to go. So that's
praise
why I'm
God.
Up here.
We are very glad that God brought you here. You are this year. Now, some years we've had more than one male mentor, but this year you're it.
That's right.
You're the male mentor. You are surrounded by estrogen on all sides. And and yet God is blessing you and using you in this place.
Amen. Yeah.
And we're very thankful. You're working in a boys' home. And on a day like today, for instance, when the house parents are off, you're on.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
So you left the kids with somebody else, I understand.
Yes, sir. They're being taken care of.
All right. And it was authorized by me. It's okay. He's here with permission. Matt, you had been here on the missions trip several years, as you indicated, led the missions trip down here. When you first came to the ranch, what were your impressions? Was it kind of right in line with what you expected, or were you surprised also?
I didn't have a lot of expectations coming down to the ranch, and I just wanted to learn about a new place, and I certainly did. I really loved each year I came down, I was able to hear more and more stories of people that how they arrived here and all the ways God was working. God blessed me with the opportunity to speak to one of the students a couple of years ago. He told me his testimony, and that's one of the biggest things that impacted me, hearing how from the mouth of the student how God had redeemed him from a lot of very bad situations and experiences. And so that's when I started realizing, you know what, God can use me down here. And then when I saw, also God worked on my heart when I saw that there was no other guys working here 1 year when I came down, and I thought this would be a good place for me.
So you recommend this place for guys?
Oh, yes. If you are college age or a little bit older and you are looking for a way to serve, come here. I need some help.
Well, I would second that. We always are praying that God will send us the right mentors, both male and female. And God seems to send us more females. I think maybe they're more open to the Spirit of God. But we appreciate so much the fact that the Lord has sent a wonderful, wonderful group across the years. And the folks who are here with me in the studio today certainly fit that profile. Now, one of the things we do with the mentors is every month, the first Sunday night of the month, we invite the mentors up to our house. And Susan and I are always glad to do that. And I have the opportunity to meet with them and to invite questions on any number of subjects. And they do a great job asking good questions. But this last meeting that we had, I asked them a question, and it led to some interesting discussion. My question was, what should we do about the Syrian refugees? And Matt spoke up and said something that caught me a little off guard. I didn't know that. Matt, what's your ancestry?
My dad is actually an immigrant from Syria. He came here not knowing any English or anything when he was 14 with his family. So I have some pretty deep cultural roots in Syria and that kind of culture. And so that's the way I was brought up.
Yeah. So when you look at the problem, you see in the news people talking about Syrian refugees and so forth, that really hits home.
Oh, definitely. It's a lot more personal, you know, knowing that if we didn't accept Syrian immigrants when my dad was a kid, then I wouldn't even exist. So knowing, I guess, seeing a little bit more of the personal side of it and more of like that these are real people with who have been persecuted. And that's one of the reasons why my father's family came over is because his family is Syrian Orthodox. And when they were being discriminated against by Muslims. And so coming here, they took advantage of the religious freedom we have here, and I can definitely relate to that with the refugees that are now coming over.
Now, when your folks were coming, part of their being approved to come into this country was the awareness by our government that your family had endured persecution and suffering and was under the threat of more suffering as a result of their faith.
That's what I understand, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the law. We have a president currently who is telling people that it's un-American to ask and consider the issue of religion in dealing with immigration. The fact is, we were doing that long before this present crisis.
Absolutely.
It's always been, by federal law, part of the basis that the government is required to consider when looking at who they're admitting. Now, that's not just Christians being persecuted in places like Syria. It's also if you're from a minority group like Sunni Muslim in a largely Shiite Muslim country, or Shiites being persecuted by Sunnis. If religious persecution is one of the reasons why the U.S. decided ages ago that we would consider letting somebody come into this country, because it's worth noting, coming into this country is a privilege. My grandfather and grandmother came to this country as immigrants, and I'm very glad they were allowed in by my father's family, who had been in this country forever. But the fact of the matter is, when we look at these questions, we've got to realize there are some historical facts that need to be considered along with our emotional knee-jerk reactions. And so I would just submit to you, I'm very, very glad to have Matt here as a Syrian. Your dad came over. Where's your mom from?
My mom actually grew up in Puerto Rico. She's a child of a missionary there. And so she spent her whole life there until she came to the U.S. for college.
Wow. So, again, now you're not Puerto Rican, however.
No, not at all.
And those of you who are Puerto Rican, you are also welcome here. But I wanted to be very clear that, you know, all of these issues need to be looked at not only in terms of, you know, how do you feel about these things, but what are the facts about these things? You know, I think when we look at the refugee crisis, there are three options for our country right now. The first is to say, because these refugees are coming from a place where there are many enemies of our country, we need to screen them more carefully than we would other refugees or other people wanting to come into this country. So screen them more vigorously. That's option number one. The second option is to say, we need to hold them to the same standard we hold everyone to. If you're wanting to come into this country, you have to go through a screening process. And if we cannot be sure to our satisfaction that you're safe, then we're not going to let you in. The third option is to say, because the crisis is so dramatic and so massive, we need to go ahead and just let people in regardless of whether or not we can screen them, regardless of whether or not we have data that says they're safe or unsafe. Let's just go ahead and let them in and then figure it out after they get here. Of those three options, That's the one, that last one, that our government is urging at the present time, that our executive branch, our president, is urging at the present time. It's not legal. It is not legal. Therefore, I would encourage us to consider the first two options. Do we treat the current crisis as if it's business as usual? Or do we say, you know, we've got to be even more careful with people who are coming from an area where we know that there's a threat? I think Christians can disagree on those options. But whatever we decide, we need to be realistic. And speaking of realism, my friend Ted Schroeder sent me a piece that I thought was very helpful. From the Florida Times-Union in December of 2015, giving examples of far more prevalent deaths than terrorism. Ready? Traffic accidents. Struck by lightning. Falling out of bed. That's my personal favorite. The National Safety Council noted that about 6,000 Americans die each year texting while driving. The gun murder rate has been cut in half since 1993, according to a Pew Center analysis of data. Violent crime has decreased by 49% since 1991, according to FBI data. Now, does that mean we don't need to be vigilant about the risk of terrorism? No, but it means we don't need to be paranoid. We don't need to be fearful. We need to rejoice knowing that our God is on the throne and that our job, if we are in Christ Jesus, is to share the good news of His love with those around us.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding out his. Let me suggest to you, if you're listening right now and you say, I don't really know what this ranch place is. I haven't listened to this broadcast a lot. I don't understand. Please go to our website, wvr.org, and learn about Ware's Valley Ranch. It's a wonderful ministry. And those of you who are listening on terrestrial stations to Abiding in Christ, we'd love for you to be acquainted with Ware's Valley Ranch as well. But it may be that God is calling you to come and serve as a mentor. It may be that God is calling you to come as a house parent couple. You say, well, could I be a house parent if I'm a single person? The answer is no. In each home, we have a married couple who serve as the surrogate mom and dad. They are assisted by these wonderful mentors. And the mentors are like a big brother or a big sister to the students in the home. And they help the house parents train the kids in how to do chores, how to do their homework, how to get along with each other, how to resolve conflict, and how to know Jesus. That's the most important thing that we seek to teach here. Not all of the kids come to faith in Jesus Christ, but a lot of them do. And it is thrilling to see children really learn to trust Christ. And one of the things that encourages them in that direction is that they see the love of Jesus Christ through the adults who are taking care of them, including these mentors who are right here. Now, Kelly, your degree in college was in what?
Marketing management.
And you've been using that to help the ranch reach out to families who may know somebody who needs to come here as a student.
Yes, sir. So it's been incredible how much I've had the chance to use my college degree. A lot of times when students graduate, they don't necessarily get to use their degree right away, but I've been blessed with the opportunity to use my degree and then even learn more things on top of that. But what I do here at the ranch is I'm an admissions counselor. So I travel and meet with people who could potentially refer students to come to the ranch. So people like guidance counselors or teachers, principals, churches who work with kids, and I just tell them about the ranch. And if they know of a child who might benefit from coming here, then I hope that they keep us in mind and refer kids to come.
What if the child is coming from a family where they can't afford to pay for the child to come here?
We do not want money to be an issue for a child to not be able to come, so we have scholarships available for children to come to the ranch.
And we've never turned a child away because of financial
reasons?
No,
sir.
All right. Now, let me ask you another thing. If they're not necessarily getting the money from the families, where does the ranch get the money? Does it come from the government?
No, sir. The ranch is completely funded through private donations, and God provides in absolutely amazing ways.
Wow. That sounds miraculous. I think people need to go to the website and learn more, don't you?
I think so, too.
WVR.org. All right. I think that's a good idea. Matt, you grew up, what's your religious background? Obviously, you came to faith before you came to the ranch,
yes,
but what is your background? Where were you discipled?
My parents actually met in a Christian evangelical church, and they were both saved before they got married, and thankfully God has blessed me and grown up a very strong Christian home, and I think my parents really took to heart the verse that says to bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So I'm thankful for all that knowledge that they gave to me throughout my whole life growing up, and that's my background.
Excellent. Well, we're grateful for that. Abby, I know we already mentioned about your family. Kay Arthur is your grandmother, and your dad is the head of Precept Ministries now. You were taught that the Bible was true, that God is real, that Jesus is Lord. But how old were you when you really yielded your life to Christ?
I became a Christian at a young age in fourth grade at a summer camp. But it wasn't until high school that I really fell in love with the Word for myself. And like you mentioned in devotions this morning, God has no grandchildren.
Amen.
And God has no great-grandchildren. So my grandmother and my father's faith couldn't account for my own salvation. But I really grew in a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus in high school by reading his word and putting to practice the things I had been taught. And then college was a really good time for me to live that out away from my family and the safe community that I had grown up in. So I did go through a lot of testing and really can witness that God is faithful and he takes Amen. Care of his children.
Amen. Folks, I want you to know that Ware's Valley Ranch has a bunch of beautiful, wonderful people who are serving God. But the thing that makes all the difference is that we're not just kind of nice people banded together to believe something that's emotionally appealing. Jesus is alive, and he's the one whose presence here makes the difference. It's because of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, alive in this place, working in the lives of the people here, that we are seeing tremendous answers to prayer year after year. And I want to encourage you, if you're out there wondering, is it real? How can I know if it's real? Check it out. Find out for yourself. God raised Jesus from the dead. He is alive. He answers prayer. And if you will cry out to him, whatever your need, he doesn't promise to do whatever you'd like. He promises to do whatever is best. And if you're struggling with an issue as you listen today and you want somebody to pray with you and talk with you about it, we'd love for you to call us. You can call 866-41-ABIDE and just say, this is what's going on. Depending on the hour that you call, depending on where you are in the country and what time you're listening to this, you may be listening after our office is closed, but if you leave your name and number, we're glad to get back to you. If you want to email us, you can go to the website and contact us that way. We're happy to hear from you. We will respond, and we will pray for you. And I promise you, God answers prayer. So let us hear from you today. If this broadcast is an encouragement to you, we'd appreciate it if you'd encourage us. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. And be sure and tune in next time.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ.
you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.